Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favourite co-hosts as always, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, I'm going to be opening up a bit about my history with disordered eating and how my journey to heal and find balance has been so far. So in today's episode, we wanted to chat a little bit about something that's kind of been in the back of our minds to record an episode on for a little while. We have had a bunch of episodes recently that have come up with guests and just stuff in the media and in society generally around healthy eating, body image, those sorts of things, and just kind of wanted to open up and get a little bit vulnerable and raw and real, I guess, about some of our experiences with body image and specifically disordered eating.
Yeah.
So a quick trigger warning before we get into today's episode that we will be discussing eating disorders and disordered eating. So if that is triggering for you, then maybe don't listen to this episode, but proceed with caution if it's something that you're interested in hearing about.
You make it sound so positive. If you're not interested in hearing, it's like we're going to be talking about something that's maybe not as bubbly or exciting, yeah, but still very important.
Yeah, and I think it is one of those things where for a long time it's been very much a taboo in today's society to talk totally about, you know, to talk openly, I guess, about the struggles that a lot of people, not just women, face with body image and their relationship with food and fitness. And yeah, it's something that probably shouldn't be as stigmatized as it is because it's a lot more common than I think people would realize. But we just kind of want to do our piece to share a bit of our experiences when it comes to this sort of stuff. And yeah, hopefully there are people out there who feel a little bit more seen or heard or understood because you might be able to connect with some of what we're saying.
Yeah, and I was recently reading Jeanette McCurdy's memoir called I'm Glad My Mum Died. And growing up, I was an avid iCarly fan, still am to this day, no shame. And the book detailed a lot of her struggle with bulimia, eating disorders, anorexia, and all of these things. And the way that she described it, I felt so privileged and so lucky that I've never had that level of unhealthy or toxic relationship with food where she was measuring out food based on the weight and would restrict herself and would throw up after every meal, and it was rotting her teeth and it was rotting her insides, and it was just this all-consuming thing. And I feel lucky in the instance that you and I have both never been formally diagnosed with anything of that level of, not sincerity is not the word I'm looking for. What's the word I'm looking for?
Severity?
Severity. That level of severity.
Yeah.
But I think you and I have both sort of struggled with this idea of disordered eating. And I think a lot of that is the years that we were raised in and what media was like. And for those that don't have a formal definition, we have it in front of us for disordered eating. It is defined as a disturbed and unhealthy eating pattern that can include restrictive dieting, compulsive eating, or skipping meals. So that is obviously a bit more extreme, I think, than you and I have gone through. And we obviously don't want to be stepping on a topic where we're like, oh, we're going to glamorize this and glorify it. Like, that's the last thing we want to do.
Yeah.
But I think you and I both struggle with being part of, you know, Generation Instagram and part of The Hills and Gossip Girl and the Kardashians growing up, where it was sexy to be skinny.
Yeah.
And it was almost normal to complain about your body. And if you weren't, it would be like, well, you're not trendy because you don't hate your body. What do you mean you have self-love? Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. And when it comes to thinking back on my experience with all of this and you talking about Jeanette McCurdy's as well, for me personally, it never ventured into bulimia or over-exercising or anything like that. But I definitely was really restrictive with my eating and I weighed out everything.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I weighed out everything and like measured things and was tracking things.
Yeah,
and
shit.
It was tricky because it wasn't because I felt like I needed to lose weight and therefore I needed to be on top of what I was eating and it was kind of demonized. It was more, I think, for me, getting an awareness around how to properly fuel my body, how much I needed to be eating, and what types of food I was eating, and how much of those types of food I was eating. I think for me, there just wasn't much awareness around what actually, what food is comprised of and how much fuel I need to give my body in order to be able to sustain certain activity. So for me, it was actually really helpful for a period of time because I knew what I was putting into my body and I knew what I needed to put into my body in order to get a particular output. But for me personally, that ended up going to a more negative place.
Yeah.
And I would never be like really bad with it, but it was definitely one of those things where I was tracking my macronutrients. For people who don't know, it's like carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Mm-hmm. So I was weighing everything and I was tracking all of that to make sure that I knew exactly what I was putting into my body and to kind of track my consistency in order to get results with my fitness and kind of work towards a particular goal. And a lot of the time, my goal wasn't necessarily fat loss. It was more like putting on muscle and toning up, and it was more around just getting fitter in general. And I realized I wasn't eating enough in order to sustain that kind of active lifestyle. Yeah. But then sometimes I was eating too much. So there wasn't necessarily that consistency across the board of I'm fueling my body with good foods that will give me energy for longer, will keep me fuller for longer, and I'm not eating lots of sugar, lots of processed food, all of that sort of stuff. So it started out in a really positive place, but then it kind of ended up in a place where I was so focused on that that if I ate a little bit over my macros or if I ate something that I knew that didn't fit in with my macros, I would feel guilty for it. And I wouldn't necessarily restrict myself and not eat those things, but I would eat certain things and I would feel guilty for it. So for me, there was a lot of emotion tied up with my food, and that was something that was always really, really difficult for me to balance. And finding that balance between being mindfully aware of what I was putting into my body and not being so obsessed with it that I was, you know, completely changing my lifestyle in order to fit in with this unrealistic routine, I guess. Yeah. And it was something where it became so front of mind that I would go out to dinner with friends or lunch with friends, and I would scan the menu for something that I thought could potentially fit into my macros rather than just going, well, I'm out with friends and I'm going to enjoy myself and I'm going to eat what I want and, you know, it'll be fine. It all kind of balances out. It comes out in the wash kind of thing.
Yeah,
I was so focused on it that it did start to really impact how I was living my life and how I was enjoying my life as well. And I found that I was prioritizing that, like my eating and my exercise over a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I don't think people necessarily talk about the amount of effort and time and energy and headspace that goes into sustaining a lifestyle like that. Like you often don't see behind the scenes. It is exhausting, honestly. And you have to prioritize that because for a lot of people, the habits that they need to build in order to be able to attain a certain body standard, there's so much that goes into that, that they have to make so many sacrifices and there's so much like time and effort and energy that goes into it that it's not sustainable long term for most people. And so for me, when I was at the height of my fitness, I was at uni. So I was working part-time and I was at uni part-time. I mean, I was at uni full-time, but I only had so many contact hours and times when I had to be on campus and studying and whatever. So for me, I had a lot more freedom and flexibility in my day to cook and to exercise and to do certain things. Whereas recently, in the last, you know, 6 years or whatever, I have been working full-time, graduated uni, and realistically, I just don't have enough time in my day.
You've got a lot on your plate.
Exactly. I just don't have enough time in my day to meal prep for hours and to go to the gym and exercise all the time. And, you know, you have to try and fit it into all of the other things that you want to do in your life and the things that make you happy. Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's been a matter of finding a way to build certain habits where I'm being active and moving my body and I'm feeling good as much as possible and I'm making sure to fuel my body properly, but I'm not pushing it to the point of obsession and to the point that it impacts the rest of my life and my enjoyment of life and my balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me personally, I kind of swung in the complete opposite direction. I was so focused on maintaining these habits and doing meal prep all the time and working out all the time and, you know, all this sort of stuff to attain this body standard. And the reality was I would look at myself in the mirror and I would constantly see the things that I wanted to change as opposed to acknowledging how good I felt and how hard I'd worked and how much effort I'd put in and, you know, appreciating myself for the work that I was putting in. Mm-hmm. It was never good enough. And I think that's something that a lot of people in this space really struggle with, is you're so focused on what you want to change rather than taking a moment to appreciate the what good you already have.
Yeah. Were there people in your life that made comments or noticed that something was a little bit off or a little bit different, or you're a bit funny about food when you were going out when you were in that peak?
Yes and no. I think it was really interesting because I'm sure a lot of people who have been in a similar situation will have found this as well. I got a lot of praise for looking a certain
way.
I'm
sure that I gave you that praise as well. I remember when
everyone did.
We were friends. I was like, oh my God, you're so fit. Oh my God, you're so skinny. Oh my God, look at your abs. And that's what I wanted. And it, because I think you and I were in this headspace of, oh, well, if we're skinny, that's good. Skinny equals great. So let's eat less or exercise more or show it off more, because praise meant good, right? It's like, you're wrong.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I had people asking me for tips on fitness and health and nutrition and things like that, because whatever I was doing was clearly working. And I was never overweight or anything like that, but I just probably wasn't as active as, you know, when I was actually putting effort into it and learning about how to move my body and different exercises and all of that sort of stuff. So it was really tricky to not get carried away with the praise that I was receiving. But there were it is hard. Yeah, it absolutely is. But there were some people around me who were really close to me who they didn't necessarily express concern for me, but they definitely noticed that I was being more restrictive and that I was prioritizing exercising on a Saturday morning instead of going out with them and spending time with them on a Friday night. Like, I would give up plans over the weekend with friends because I was like, oh no, I need to train the next day, as opposed to saying, oh, I'll make up for it another time, it'll be fine, or, you know, this is something that I do want to prioritize because it makes my soul happy. So it's fine if I have to skip one session in order to spend time with my friends. Like, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah. You sort of spoke about a little bit earlier that this is what it used to be like and this is what it's like now. Was there something that helped you get out of that trance, is probably the word I'm going to use, or change, or did it just naturally happen? Because I'm sure there are people out there that are similar who don't even realize maybe that they've got this negative relationship with food or their body. How did you progress from that negative, toxic space to something that's a little bit more healthy and realistic, and I want to use the word normal. I don't know, maybe not normal, but just a more positive, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's really tricky for me because it's kind of happened gradually over time, and I think it's happened through a process of being more consciously aware of it myself through getting to know myself better and just getting curious around my attitudes towards certain things. I've noticed particular thought patterns and behaviors that I had and have made an active effort to change how I think about things.
Yeah, which is not an easy thing to do. I think
no.
I feel like you're almost one of the exceptions to the rule that you were just able to switch yourself, or even when you talk about you used to weigh out your ingredients. Yeah. And it wasn't because you cared about the weight and grams that was going into your body. You wanted just clarity and education in a weird way that
yeah,
that's like the 1% that has that healthier lens to
it. Well, I mean, that is how it started, and then it did kind of turn out to be a little bit more negative. And yeah. I was weighing food once I already knew how much things were. I was yeah. weighing my food and, it, like I said before, attaching a level of guilt and I guess shame,
yeah.
self-shame around it, which definitely wasn't healthy. And I think for a long time I didn't necessarily realize that I was doing that. So it's only been, you know, in the past 5 or 6 years maybe, since not really being able to dedicate as much time to meal prepping and working out as I used to, that I've kind of said to myself, well, what can I do to rewire my brain and build healthy, sustainable habits and have a balanced lifestyle? I think something that was really helpful for me was, and this is something, mind you, like I'm definitely not fully healed. I'm not perfect. I still really struggle with comparison and looking too far in the future and being really self-critical.
Yeah.
But I think something that I try and remind myself of as much as possible is taking moments of gratitude to really appreciate my body for what it can do and focusing on how I feel rather than how I look.
Yeah.
And doing exercise and activity and doing different things to move my body that make me feel good. Mm-hmm. So whether that's, you know, going out to a rave and dancing for hours and hours with my friends, or, you know, running around at a festival, or recently I've done bouldering, or, you know, there are so many different ways that you can move your body that it's a matter for me now about finding things that I really enjoy, where the focus is less so on this is going to achieve a certain result in terms of how I look, and I'm going to get that validation from external sources. And it's more, this thing makes me feel happy, or I feel really accomplished when I do this thing, or, you know, I feel stronger when I do this activity. So focusing more on how you feel and kind of bringing yourself into your body rather than focusing on the external side of things for me has been really, really helpful. But it is definitely a process, and it's something that I do need to continually pull myself up on sometimes, because I do find myself slipping back into that really self-critical way of thinking. And it's something that I look back on and I see how critical I was, and I just don't want to get 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, however many years into the future and look back on how I look now and how I am now and how I'm living my life now and be like, I had no idea how good I had it, and I completely squandered all of that time because I was so worried about wanting to change things about myself. How I looked and being critical when I didn't even need to be critical. And realistically,
you're hot ass.
Well, realistically, this is probably the best that I'm going to look. Like, your body, this is the other thing as well. Women in particular, our bodies are meant to change over time. Like, that's naturally something that happens.
No one prepared us for this, though, which is why I think so many women in particular struggle with this
self-hatred,
you know, struggle with their body image and have this negative perception, because we're given people who are slim build or can afford a personal trainer and a personal chef and eat healthy, work out a lot to keep fit and slim. And that's the body standard we're used to. And it's like, when you get to 30 and your body has changed, we're getting ready to bear kids. And you're just like, why do I have hips now? Why am I going through bloody puberty. Why am I going through puberty at 30? It's like, that's normal. But no one told us that.
It's one of these things where our society is so obsessed with maintaining a sense of youth and always looking young and amazing, but not necessarily acknowledging that that's not sustainable. And for most people, that's just not possible, realistically. Particularly, I'm sure, like, I haven't been in that position and you haven't been in that position, but for mothers, there is a lot of pressure to bounce back, in quotation marks, after having a baby. Back. Absolutely. And have your body look exactly the same as it did before.
Yeah.
And for a lot of women, that's just not realistic.
Like, there are stretch marks for 9 months.
Oh, 100%. Like,
give the woman a break.
Your body changes so that you can carry a human being inside you and birth it. Like,
you are literally, your body is literally stretching itself. Like,
exactly. The fact that a human body can even do that in the first place, or, like, you know, women's bodies, regardless of what animal you are, the fact that women's bodies can do this, we can grow a child inside of us, is just ridiculous. It's so cool.
This is why I love women. Hell yeah, women.
I know. Women are the fucking best.
They fucking are.
But it is one of those things where, you know, because your body does change, women have stretch marks. Their skin stretches, and skin doesn't necessarily always go back to being taut and toned the way it was before once it's stretched.
Yeah.
Like, people have excess skin and things like that. So it's just one of those things where I'm sure there are so many women out there who really struggle with the idea of their body changing and not going back to the way it was before. But society having this perception that that's normal for everyone to immediately bounce back after having a kid and it's like nothing ever happened. Like, that's just not a lot of women's reality. And it's so unfair that that's a standard that's being put upon us and it's an expectation as a society.
I know. It just sucks. So backwards. And I think there's still a long way to go with the impact that celebrities, influencers, and mainstream media and pop culture have on younger generation. This is not to say as well that men or non-binary people don't face these issues as well, but I think just it's so prominent in females or people that identify as women, because it's praised to be skinny. Yeah. It's praised to have an eating disorder, like all of these fucked up things that we now have to go through years of therapy to undo. And I think it's really inspiring to see that you've been able to notice it in yourself and work on that journey a lot, like, by yourself with your support network, and not necessarily have to go into rehab or intense therapy and, you know, fork out a lot of money to rewire your brain. But it's just so shit that we are still surrounded by it. And I know for you, we've spoken about this in a separate episode, but you had to delete Instagram for a little while because it was such a big trigger for you. And it's so shit that, you know, something that I guess is part of our day-to-day lives, which is social media, can have such a negative impact on so many of us, whether we're cognizant of it or not.
Yeah, and it is definitely one of those things that even now I make sure to limit my time on Instagram. And to be honest, I really only for looking at tattoo artists so that I can decide who I want to get my tattoo done with. And messaging people, like, that's pretty much, and like posting stories of stuff that I do on a day-to-day basis. Like, it's not really, I'm not scrolling on Instagram. I'm not using it to follow influencers or explore anything. Like, I barely spend any time on there. And I think for me, that's also really done wonders in terms of stopping that pattern of comparison. And that's something that I think I kept coming back to when I was feeling really insecure and just not in the best place mentally.
You're not the only person. I do it too.
Totally. Everyone does it. Yeah, I would compare myself to all of these people. And like I said before, like, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes to attain a certain beauty standard and a certain look. Yeah. And there's so much, like, inner turmoil for a lot of people they would never vocalize and never put online.
Because no one wants to seem that vulnerable or weak.
But the thing is, I feel like people nowadays are a lot more open to hearing that side of things, and people are a lot more open to sharing that side of things. And I think that's partly why we wanted to do this episode and why I wanted to speak really, really openly about what I've been through. And
it's important.
Yeah, because I think I don't want people to look at me and think, oh, she's just blessed or, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, there is
a genetic
part of it, obviously. Like, yeah. Some people are genetically predisposed to gain more weight or to lose weight. Like, there are different body types that you have. High
metabolism rate.
Yeah.
Small like, build. Like,
exactly. There's ectomorph, endomorph, and mesomorph, and that.
Whatever that means.
They're all different body types that basically describe how you gain and lose weight.
Interesting. So,
depending on which body type you have, it might be easier to gain or lose weight. And so, it's one of those things where a lot of it is just down to genetics. And some people have longer torsos or wider hips or, you know, they're just...
Sometimes genetically, the bones are just set a little wider. That's literally it. I'm sorry, you can't lose bones.
I mean,
you can, but I don't want to think about that.
Well, this is the thing. Like, there is a genetic element to it as well, but I wouldn't want people to look at me and look at how I used to look when I was at the height of my fitness and not think that there was so much time and energy that went into that and that I was healthy and balanced back then because... Yeah. Realistically, when I was at the height of my fitness and was getting all of this attention and praise for looking a particular way, there was so much going on behind the scenes that people didn't see and it wasn't healthy and sustainable.
No way.
I'm kind of glad that I'm able to share that now and speak really candidly and openly about what that experience was like.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of you who are listening out there connect with this and can kind of... I don't know, maybe identify with things that I have gone through. And by all means, my DMs are open. So feel free to slide into them if you've been going through any of this sort of stuff and just want to have someone to talk to. We'll also put a bunch of resources in the show notes as well in case you do want to talk to a professional, because I do think that that is also really helpful. For me personally, I've been very lucky that I'm as self-aware as I am and I have been able to recognize certain behavior and thought patterns and actively try and change them. But for a lot of people, you do need professional help. And like we've said in many of our other episodes where we talk about mental health and therapy, it is totally okay to need help with these sorts of things sometimes. So I know that there can often be a bit of shame around admitting that you need help with certain things and reaching out to obtain that help, but you are going to be so much better in the long run if you do.
Oh, most definitely. And we'll make sure that we drop all of those in the notes, because if this is something that you might realize that you're struggling with, there's no shame in it. And it's better to have a healthy relationship with your body and good mental health about it, because, you know, you want to be living your life to the fullest and not spending all of your spare time worried about how a dress hugs your body or what number you are on a scale. There are so many more important things in life than how many pieces of donuts you're eating. Eat whatever you want. Be happy. Live your life. Find nourishment and joy in fueling your body to survive and live. And don't worry about, oh, I need to work this off. There's, it's just it's like such a sad way to spend time. And you and I have dedicated far too much of our own life.
Yeah.
Wasted so much of our life on worrying about how we look, what size we are, what are we weighing a scale, what am I eating? Yeah. Oh, I need to work it off. And it's just, it doesn't lead to anything positive. So we just want you guys to learn from what we've been through. And obviously there's so many other stories out there that are so inspiring. And hopefully if you need it, you can get the help that you need.
Absolutely. And when it comes to weighing yourself and the number on the scale, I genuinely don't remember the last time I weighed myself.
Oh, because I know to own that a scale.
Yeah, I know that that's a slippery slope for me. And that number holds so much more weight, for want of a better term, than it should. And for me, I know that that has more of an impact on my mental health than it should. And so I just don't even want to put myself into that position. And something from a food perspective that's been really helpful is reminding yourself to slow down and eat more mindfully. So rather than kind of aimlessly or mindlessly eating a bag of chips when you're watching a movie, be really conscious about what you're putting into your body. And it's tricky because there is that fine line between being conscious about what you're putting into your body and being mindful and being over-obsessive about it. So it's one of those things where you just have to kind of find what works for you, but being aware about what you're putting into your body and how it makes you feel and really taking the time to savor how something tastes and what emotions are coming up for you when you're eating a particular thing.
Yeah.
And just getting curious around what that experience of eating is like for you,
yeah.
I think is probably a good place to start.
Small changes, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that is a lovely positive note to end a less positive episode on, or a little bit more of a heavy episode. So thank you guys. If you're still listening, thank you for listening all the way to the end. We love you guys. Make sure you head over to our socials where we can continue these conversations there. Our DMs and emails are always open, so you can slide into the DMs and we're always there to help how we can and just have a chat. But of course, we are not health professionals. We are not qualified in that.
Yeah, and that is the thing to remember. We aren't nutritionists. I'm not a personal trainer.
No.
So please don't take what we're saying as gospel. I'm just sharing what has been particularly helpful for me. Do your legitimate
research.
Yeah, and like we said before, speak to professionals.
Yeah.
There's so many people who this is their bread and butter, so to speak.
They get paid to do this. They're trained to do this. They're here to help professionally, not just two millennials on a podcast.
Absolutely. And do your research as well. And if someone's giving you not that great vibes and you feel like it could kind of lead you down a bit of a slippery slope and get you into a negative headspace, find someone else. There's so many people out there who specialize in this sort of stuff that you will absolutely be able to find someone who works for you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, remember to rate, review, subscribe, share this episode around to friends. Share Sam, it around Colin, friends, sure. Family, colleagues, whoever. Really appreciate it. Otherwise, we are excited as always to take you along with us as we talk about the areas of life that might not have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.